Hello, I'm Howard Hudson with another edition of the You and Your Merit podcast. Today we're joined on location in Thailand by Professor Adam Zirmai. For the last few years, he's been running our DAPE course, which is short for Design and Evaluation of Innovation Policies in Developing Countries. It's a course that began in 2004 and since then has trained about 800 senior and mid-level government officials in developing countries. Countries as far afield as India, Jordan, Argentina, Mauritius, Nigeria, Uruguay and El Salvador, to name just a few. This edition was recorded on the island of Phuket, on the southwest tip of Thailand. For more lectures and interviews from the course, please go to the You and Your Merit website and YouTube channel. For my first question, I asked, what's the basic added value of the DAPE training course?
Well, I've been involved in the DAPE program for about 5 years. I think it's one of the nice parts of the You and Your Merit program, because our core business is to do research, and our secondary mission is to do education and what they call outreach. And this outreach is of a special nature, namely that the researchers try to put themselves in the position of policymakers and practitioners, and then try to translate the results of their research so that they are of some use to these people working in practice. And these are two very different worlds. The world of research is the world of searching for knowledge about abstract problems. And your answer is always you want to do more, you want to understand more. And you're not very good at short-term solutions. Policymakers are not very good at research. They often even don't know enough about their topics. But they have to decide things tomorrow. They have large budgets, they have to be allocated, and the decisions simply can't wait. Now, the interesting thing about the DAPE workshops is that you get a meeting of these researchers and these policymakers, and both of them have to make a transition. The policymakers would like us to tell them exactly what to do and how to do it, and we don't do that. We very deliberately say, well, you will have to make your own decisions. But what we do try to do is try to translate the kind of research we do into things that are relevant for them, so that we get a kind of a brainstorming about problems, which we hope will then feed into better policy making. So that, I think, in a nutshell, is also the function of these DAPE programs. We bring very good researchers who are publishing, you know, at the forefront of their field, and bring them in contact with rather senior people who are involved in making difficult decisions, and we put them together in a pressure cooker situation. 5 days of exhausting interaction during the lectures, interaction between the lectures, interaction at dinner time, and from that you get a sort of effect that people become motivated again.
So they're assessing their own relationships to a certain extent?
You could say that. You know, they're caught up in their everyday routines and suddenly they're taken out of that and have a whole week to reflect on what they're actually doing, why they're doing it, what is the theoretical background of it, and very importantly, to get a perspective of other countries.
So which countries has DAPE visited them?
That's a good question. The DAPE started out as a Maastricht affair. We had 7 programs in Maastricht and invited people from many different countries to come to Maastricht, and there we did a course for them. That worked quite well in that you have a mix of participants from many different countries. It worked badly in that you only had 1 or 2 or 3 participants from one country, so the net impact from that country was very low. Also, to be honest, it was very expensive. We'd spend up to 50,000-60,000 euros for a workshop for 24 people. And at some stage, soon after I became coordinator of this program, which I forgot to say, but for the past 5 years I've been coordinating this program, Luc Souter, the director of You and Your Merit, suggested that we switch to country programs, where we go to a counterpart and jointly organize a program with a real input from the country, so that each program, though it has the same structure, is tailored to the specific conditions. So it makes a real difference whether you have a DAPE in Ethiopia, where 85% of the population is still employed in agriculture, or in middle-income countries like Thailand and Malaysia. And we've been now to some 14 different countries on 3 continents, in Africa, in Latin America, and in Asia. And in each of these cases, you find very different conditions, and you have to make a different program. For instance, in Thailand, We talk about service innovation because the tourism sector is obviously important, and they asked us to talk about it. In Ethiopia, we talk about agricultural innovation and the relation between agriculture and industry. In another country, you will have another focus again. So in some countries, you will focus specifically on ICT innovation, in the case of India. The other interesting thing about going to these different countries is that you also get local speakers who are often trained in the same way. Many of them have been to SPRU,
in Sussex,
which is the breeding ground for innovation specialists worldwide, along with you and Numeric. And you already share a common language, but they do give a much more informed local perspective. So, for instance, we don't know all that much of each country we visit. We have an international perspective, and then the local speakers provide the depth and the content that is needed to make it interesting. So you get a two-way learning process. It's not that just we go there and give our course and then go away. Every time you go to a place, you come back with a certain feel of the country.
So what have you learned from your Thai counterparts here then?
Well, what have I learned from my Thai counterparts here? I've learned more about Thailand. Just the way this thing has been organized. And the Thais, and especially Amara, the lady who's been doing yoga, has a perfect organizational control. So an organization which can actually organize a large workshop this well also has the ability to organize its innovation activities effectively. So one of the things that you get is the feel of organizational capabilities. The second thing you learn is about the level of the participants and their background knowledge. You get, well, we've got a rather positive impression of that. And the third thing that you learn is about what sectors a country is good at. So you learn about, for instance, the tourist sector in Thailand. You learn about the importance of rubber. You learn about the fact that Thailand has a very large manufacturing sector, almost as large as China, with about 40% of its GDP coming from manufacturing. That is unique compared to, for instance, 70-80% in Latin America. These things you learn partly in preparing for the course, and partly in talking with the participants. You also, fourth thing, you learn about the nature of the innovation system. We meet with senior people in the innovation policy organizations, in this case NSTDA, which is a big organization responsible for a lot of innovation research, innovation policy. But you also get to appreciate some of the weaknesses of innovation policy. For instance, in the present workshop, about 30 of the participants come from one organization, while ideally you would like to have participants from a variety of industries and private organizations involved in innovation, including the Ministry of Industry, the Ministry of Finance, often forgotten that they have to pay for it, the Ministry of Agriculture, and so forth, or technology diffusion institutions or regional institutions. And one of the functions is to arrange a meeting between all these people and create links within a country which did not exist before. That we did not succeed in doing in this specific course because they were not there. Why were they not there? Because the innovation system itself is indeed fragmented, and they don't have the capability to reach out and get these other people on board.
So that's one of the lessons
which I would formulate at the end of this meeting. It's also one of the things that I've learned about Thailand. The level of their people seems to be very good. Their knowledge about a variety of topics seems very good, but it is extremely fragmented. So that's what I call this two-way learning process, and it has very much to do with our view of innovation. You know, we were criticizing in our theoretical approach a linear view of innovation which goes from, you know, abstract research to applied research, to developing new products and then selling them. Well, it actually goes for us also. We are, let's say, abstract researchers focusing on innovation, but interacting intensively with these policymakers gives us also new ideas how to do our own research. So that would be one of the things that I would take away from.
Okay, so would it be possible to join up all of the innovation policymakers and politicians and civil servants in all the DAIP countries that you've been to? Would that be possible to share lessons learned between you?
That's a very good point, and it's been on our agenda for quite a long time. And we've made some small steps towards achieving this, in that we have created a list of addresses, including emails, of all the 800 past participants, which we already have online and which they can access. But so far, it's been a passive website because we've never had anyone with the abilities and the patience to develop it. And I think if we could develop, it's been proposed to us several times after leaving a country whether we could develop such an online facility. When we left India 2 years ago, they said, you should really create, we would love to participate. Well, we made a very small beginning, but there's a big potential there to post things about innovation policy, informing each other about what we're doing, using, it would be also very good for the Institute UNUMERIT. Actually, it is, even in its present very imperfect form, it is very good, because we do have a network of 800 contacts of people who are have been through our hands and who have usually very positive feelings about the Institute and come back to us. One of the things we found in a recent evaluation of the whole program is that the great majority of participants recommends the course to other people. So that is one of the indications that we are getting something right, and also that we're keeping the links, and that, you know, we come across them in different settings. Oh, I was at that course and I was at that course. So I think it's also a tremendous human resource for an institute focusing on technology, innovation and development.
Thank you very much.